Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
National One Hit Wonder
Gonna
Day.
Gonna be this way.
All because of a TV show, right?
Friends!
Yeah. We'll get a few more in before the end of the show today. How's that?
Yippee!
DJ Tommy over there picking the One Hit Wonder hits today on National One Hit Wonder Day. So, Brett Kavanaugh, let's say right now, no one's stopping him from speaking. He had a lengthy process in the Senate Judiciary Committee a week ago, a question and answer period. After that had concluded, reports started to surface of now multiple women. I want to say, is it three? There's two we know of, potentially a fourth.
Okay. There is a county in Maryland, I want to say, that there was an allegation brought forth that they're investigating if that woman wants to press charges.
Come forward and say something.
For this conversation, let's go with two.
Okay.
Because there are two that have come forward. We know the two names, and we also know the allegations that have been levied in those two instances.
Correct. Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez. Now, Brett Kavanaugh and his wife went on TV last night on Fox News to answer these allegations.
I'm not perfect, but I've never, never done anything like this.
Okay, so refuting the allegations, and he's done that before. I mean, in a written statement.
Not me.
Yeah, it was in a written statement. Now, though, he sat down with a friendly audience, you know, on Fox News, and that's fine. I'm not hating on that. And he answered questions.
I never did any such thing. Never did any such thing. The other people alleged to be there don't recall any such thing. If such a thing had happened, it would have been the talk of campus.
Okay, that was the Deborah Ramirez allegation. This is the freshman year at Yale. She claims he exposed himself to her. And he says, you know, if it did happen, it would have been the talk of campus. But if you read the article in The New Yorker, it apparently was. There were a few students who had heard it secondhand. I'll be clear, they weren't in the room when the alleged incident happened, but that it had been talked about for quite some time. Now, and there had been an email chain of Yale classmates of Kavanaugh talking about, will this thing ever come out, long before Christine Blasey Ford had come forward.
Now, I understand, you know, the PR campaign behind Brett Kavanaugh and the PR campaign behind Dr. Ford. How's that? Brett Kavanaugh presented an image of himself in high school, this prep school, and in college, that the problem is there are his own accounts, video, written words, that tell a bit of a different story. Now, of course, you're going to put your best foot forward. I get that. But is he trying to paint himself as too much of a choir boy when there's evidence out there that says, well, come on now.
Well, you say, and this is where I got to push back on that, strangely enough, but you say paint himself like a choir boy. He did, in fact, acknowledge that there was drinking in high school and sometimes to excess.
The drinking age was 18, and yes, the seniors were legal and had beer there. And yes, people might have had too many beers on occasion, and people generally in high school, I think all of us have probably done things we look back on in high school and regret or cringe a bit, but that's not what we're talking about.
But he's talking in generalities there. Again, that's a non-denial denial in there, because Judge Kavanaugh and his buddy Mark Judge, who allegedly was present at one of these alleged assaults.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I got to
qualify
every word in there. Wrote about and have spoken about.
He wrote a book
about the party scene,
yeah,
that they were in, the private school party scene. How they Kavanaugh, who listed himself in the yearbook as the treasurer for the, quote, 100 kegs or bust club, in which you had to drink 100 kegs of beer before you graduated from school.
Good night.
Wow. Well, not at all at one sitting, I'm assuming.
No,
it was a cumulative event.
I get that, but still.
He also tells the stories. During their senior years, they hired a stripper, bought a keg for a bachelor party in honor of the school's music teacher. Again, I'm not saying any of that is in and of itself disqualifying from the Supreme Court of the United States. I'm just saying the idea that the interview that I saw, I think he tried to paint himself as above all these things when I think at best he was in the middle of it.
Okay, you say paint himself above all these things. There was a really odd and actually quite awkward moment that took place with the interviewer on Fox News and Judge
Martha McCallum.
Thank you. I almost said McSally, and that's why I paused myself because I'm like, I know she wasn't interviewing him. Well, I'll just play the cut.
Which part?
For you. Well, listen, this is weird.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter.
Yeah, I mean, that is so weird and awkward. Okay. She did not ask him about that. That was something that he had volunteered
planned.
Because I think there was some coaching. The fact that we're now even talking about a Supreme Court nominee when he lost his virginity on television is just weird.
Objection, irrelevant.
This is Joy from Peoria. What difference does it make if he was a virgin? That has nothing to do with the charges. The whole thing is sickening.
Neither of the women are accusing him of sexual intercourse.
But is okay? So
is he being? And he volunteered it, but it is completely irrelevant to the charges. The charges, the allegations are. Pinned to the bed, groped her, tried to remove her clothes, exposed himself during a drinking game, forced the woman to touch him in a way that made her uncomfortable. None of them accusing him of sexual intercourse.
So think about that then. Do you find it unsettling that a man that is seeking a lifetime appointment on the nation's highest court thinks sexual activity and sexual assault are mutually exclusive?
Hmm. Well, I, interesting. Yeah, I mean that you would compare the two of them. You can be one without the other.
Okay. Oh, very easily.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay,
so for him to bring it up again made me like that's where my little spidey senses go. Well, who the hell accused you of that?
Right. Okay. So let's. I know you're not an attorney, Bruce, but
I can play one on the radio. My brother is, and that's close enough.
Okay. So
close as I want to get.
Judge Kavanaugh is your client.
Mm-hmm.
You're working to get him confirmed and on the highest court in the land.
Boy.
Do you let him sit down and do this interview? Why or why not?
I don't think the interview... I would say the interview is a push at best. I think they felt they needed to get his side out because so many of the women's versions and the stories were being told. He categorically denies all of it. Somebody's lying. I don't know if it helped him at all, because I think that the hearing on Thursday, if it goes through, and by the way, anybody who can predict what's going to happen in 48 hours, good for you. I still think there's a chance this all goes to hell, one way or the other. It's still going to come down to, do you believe him when he says, I didn't do it, was it me? And she says, that's the guy that did it, he's over there.
Well, you know, there was a hashtag that came out in the wake of the president reacting to all that's going on in the Supreme Court. And it's, you know, why I didn't report. And to me, it's like the second incarnation of hashtag Me Too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody who also kind of got wrapped up in the whole hashtag Me Too, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
We want to let you know right now that we've got some breaking news into the KTAR News Center that Bill Cosby has just been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison.
That's for the specific 2004 sexual assault. Remember, he was accused of...
multiple.
It was over 50, wasn't
it?
Yeah, this is multiple. For the one specific case that happened in Pennsylvania. Cosby sentenced 3 to 10.
Dr. Huxtable. I mean, that's how I know him. I mean, I know a lot of people know him as a comedian and a stand-up and so on. I know him as Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah.
Is going to be behind bars for 3 to 10 years.
Wow. Tell you what, Bob McClay has all the details on that. We'll get us updated on it. We come right back. Governor Ducey and Democratic challenger David Garcia, their first debate was last night. We'll give you some of the highlights coming up next.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
One hit wonder day. Look at that. Rockin' Robin, for goodness sakes. Let's talk about Bill Cosby. The news just coming down again. If you heard Bob McClay tell you that Bill Cosby, America's dad, wasn't that one of the terminology we used for a long time, has been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman this event occurred roughly 14 years ago.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this case, beyond the fact that, again, yeah, Dr. Huxtable, and, you know, he was America's dad. You invited him into your living room with must-see TV. Mm. You know, I remember sitting on the couch and watching The Cosby Show with my parents growing up. Rudy Huxtable, I mean, all of that nostalgia, part of our childhood. But you look at Bill Cosby, and it's incredible that he's going to be facing 3 to 10 years in prison for sexual assault.
Yeah, not getting off and not walking out. He's going to jail.
Prosecutors had asked for 5 to 10 years behind bars.
Okay.
His lawyers asked for house arrest. He's getting 3 to 10 per the judge. And this is the first celebrity trial of the hashtag MeToo era.
If you think about that, because think of some of these other large names that we've heard. Harvey Weinstein.
Les Moonves.
Bill O'Reilly. Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm, yes.
None of them have gone to trial.
No.
Not yet. I think Weinstein's the only one where there's an active criminal investigation going on into it still. So Bill Cosby, the 81-year-old comedian, is going to jail. And if you think about it, I'm not saying it to exaggerate. At some point, I remember when the first accusation started coming out.
Against
I remember
Cosby?
The discussion, yeah. And then it was like, well, there's another, and then another. And then it was, gee, there's a dozen. And then it was, there's 2 dozen. And then it was 3. And I want to say it literally, there were almost at one point, I think nearly 50 women came forward and made some sort of accusation against Bill Cosby, confirming the idea that he was a serial predator.
Okay, so Bill Cosby right now is 81 years old. And he has been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison. Mm-hmm. So on the low end of that, you know, he'd get out 84,
right.
85. Okay. Now, ahead of this sentencing from the judge said that Cosby is a sexually violent predator. That
wow.
means he's got to undergo monthly counseling for the rest of his life and report quarterly to authorities. And think about this. Bill Cosby's name is going to appear on sex offender registry sent to neighbors, schools, and victims. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. Under Pennsylvania law, he has to register with police if he moves. Neighbors and schools would be alerted if he lived nearby. He also has to register if he travels to another city overnight. He would have to alert authorities and the police. This fundamentally changes his life. And you're right. Bill Cosby's story, an interesting story in and of itself. A success story in many ways. One of the biggest comedians on the planet, biggest TV stars on the planet. And this ends at age 81. I say ends. I mean, I can't imagine what the comeback from this looks like. As a registered sex offender for the rest of his life.
Right, exactly. And so you have, this is the case, though, of Andrea Konstad. This is the one case. The woman who came forward.
She worked at Temple. Was that the one that worked at Temple University?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And she actually went to the authorities first in 2005.
A year after it happened.
And since then, more than 60.
It's 60. I said 50, yeah.
60 women have accused Cosby of some sort of sexual misconduct, though none of those claims have led to criminal charges.
Because some of them, there was statute of limitations in different
sure.
states. It was there was no legal recourse. Pennsylvania still had the legal recourse.
And so you've got this going on right now, these proceedings that are taking place right now in Pennsylvania, cameras not allowed in the courtroom, but it's this other extraordinary hashtag MeToo drama that's continuing to unfold as what we're seeing up on Capitol Hill, where Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh faces allegations of sexual misconduct from more than 3 decades ago.
Think about this. So we don't have cameras in the courtroom.
Right.
And I have no sympathy for Bill Cosby.
No, me neither.
I have no sympathy for him, so I want to say that. But the fact that there's no cameras means we will be spared the sight of Bill Cosby, who, and I'm going by some of the pool reports in there, is being handcuffed as we speak. And instead of walking out of the courtroom, he was denied bail. Instead of walking out of the courtroom, you've seen before, will be walked back to the other side to be processed and taken to state prison.
Yeah, because this morning when he walked into court, he was smiling and joking with his spokesman and sheriff's deputies. Yeah, and even during the trial, I mean, on day one of the sentencing, he laughed at times as the psychologist for the state testified. I mean, this is...
It seems like he never took it as seriously as it was.
I mean,
is that fair?
Well, of course, because these allegations... 60 women have come forward. And when I say they've come forward, Bruce, the vast majority of them had had disturbingly similar stories.
With being drugged, going to him for career advice, him luring them to hotels or rooms.
Yeah. Some of these women,
M.O.
Their minds were there. Like, they knew what was going on, but they could not move their bodies. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
That is just, that is terrifying.
You brought up the Kavanaugh hearing on Thursday, and Dr. Ford, who's still scheduled to testify. This is operating in that world.
It doesn't happen in a vacuum.
This rings around this, doesn't it?
Yes, that you've got Bill Cosby getting 3 to 10 years in prison for sexual assault for a very powerful actor. How's that going to play out? I mean, is that going to have any bearing on how people watch the hearing on Thursday? No. I don't know.
You know, one of the things over this whole weekend that you might have noticed if you're a Twitter follower is the hashtag Why I Didn't Report. Why did it take Dr. Ford 36 years to come forward, as some people are claiming? That's factually not correct, but I understand why you say it. Well, we asked you. Why have some of our listeners didn't report? Why haven't they come forward? We're going to talk about that. It's coming up next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
What a great song. A little aha for you on National One Hit Wonder Day. What a great song. So one of the criticisms or defenses being lobbed against specifically women who are coming forward and making accusations, in this case against Judge Kavanaugh and his nomination to the Supreme Court. But let's be honest, they are similar to, we just were talking about Bill Cosby, where some of the allegations went back 20, 30, back in the 60s, didn't they? The argument, well, why didn't you say something then? Why are you coming out now? If it was so bad, as you say, why didn't you tell the police?
Which is extremely hypocritical when you also look at what's going forth right now in the Catholic Church, or has been for the last decade
Agreed.
Or so.
Yeah.
But the whole hashtag why I didn't report has gained so much momentum. And it was because of a tweet that the president sent out last week. Let me read that tweet for you. I have no doubt that if the attack on Dr. Ford was as bad as she says, charges would have been immediately filed with local law enforcement authorities by either her or her loving parents. That reeks to me as tone deaf and ignorant, because if this president understood anything about sexual assault, sexual harassment, he would know that a lot of people don't report it. Hence, hashtag why I didn't report.
He knows about it. He just knows about it from the other side. So why I didn't report, almost a million people, mostly women, but some men, let's be honest, telling their stories. Why didn't they come forward? Why didn't they report something? And, you know, we asked you to tell us some of your stories.
And there have been some brave women. And, you know, obviously we're talking about a sensitive topic here. So if you got kids in the car, just kind of keep that in mind. We've got some calls. Here's one of them, Bruce.
I was 16. There was a rumor going around my school that I was a lesbian. One of the jocks cornered me in the library. He tried to rape me. I managed to hurt him pretty badly. But that's why I didn't report.
Hashtag why I didn't report.
I got an email. I won't use her name.
Please don't.
When I was 21, I broke up with my boyfriend. His response was to beat me up and rape me. When I told my mom, she shook her head and said, quote, the things you kids get yourself into, unquote.
Oh,
hashtag why I didn't report.
That hurts my heart. That hurts my heart because as a parent, you're there to protect your children.
Yeah, I can't imagine that response.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Because he was my friend. The one friend I did tell didn't believe me because he's too nice to do that. Hashtag why I didn't report. This one's disturbing.
Okay.
And so keep that in mind.
All right.
Hashtag why I didn't report. When I was 17, during the summer, after I graduated high school, I was supposed to be on a date and ended up, the guy took me to a house where five guys raped me. I'm 72 years old now, and this is the first time I've ever spoke up. I've been too ashamed to report.
Shame is a part of that.
There are so many of these that I'm reading, and a lot of them will even end with, typing this tweet is the hardest thing I've done.
And for many of them, it appears to be the tweets, some of the emails, some of the calls we got, the first time people have talked about this, that you didn't know the extent of this. You didn't know that there are people in your own universe, family, coworkers who share these stories because they don't want to be defined by that and they don't want to walk around talking about it.
And you know, with Harvey Weinstein, just about a year ago, that's where you got the hashtag Me Too. And a lot of that was surrounding sexual assault, sexual harassment in the workplace. And how women have experienced that in their day-to-day
kind
lives.
Had to put up with it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
This is along those same lines, but different about, well, why haven't you talked about it?
Right. Why are you bringing it up now? Right. Because isn't that the argument?
Because I knew it was his word against mine. Because I blamed myself for putting myself in that position. Because I should have known better. There's so much going on in that. Women blame themselves for putting themselves in this. I should have known.
That almost sounds to me like, what were you wearing?
But no.
You take it like, well, if I hadn't addressed so provocatively.
But that's what we do.
That's what I hear.
What a lot of women do. Mm. And we feel like it's our fault. And a lot of times, the perpetrator makes you feel like it's your fault. I know a young lady who shared her story with me here locally, and she went on a date with a guy, and he pulled up on one of the mountains here locally. They were in the car, and the entire way there, he was talking about guns, which made her feel uncomfortable, and he also told her there was a gun under the seat. And
it's not something you just kind of frame.
Okay. And once he parked the car, he started to attack her, but she managed to get out and only told a friend about it. Just one friend. Okay. And the friend knew the family and was like, wow, his parents would be devastated. Fast forward a few years later, and that same guy got kicked off the U of A golf team for a very similar situation.
Really?
Of sexual assault.
Really?
And this guy would also say, you know what, if you tell anybody, I could lose my scholarship and it would be your fault. And she and I were just talking about it right now. I said, no, that would have been your fault. That would have been his fault. That was his actions that way have done that. Mm. And I asked her, I'm like, did you tell your parents at the time? Because she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I just told my mom last week.
Last week?
Last week. And her mom's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And she's like, well, what would that have done? What would you have done? Well, I would have talked to his parents. And what would that have done? It would have made my life that much more difficult. Like, this is the reality of the situation. So don't tell me that because something happened 36 years ago, if it was as bad as you claim it to be, you would have reported it. Listen, there's no manual that young ladies get when they're young to tell them how to deal with this, but we all deal with it. And it doesn't necessarily have to be as grotesque as some sort of assault.
Doesn't have to go to...
You know what?
Because here's the thing that frustrates me with the story you just told. that this guy eventually got some sort of justice in the sense of he kicked off the team and exposed for who he is. Do you think those are the only two instances?
Right. Right.
I can't pressure people, nor am I trying to. But if you let it go, you've just sent him or her down the line to the next person.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's your responsibility.
No, it is not your responsibility.
But these people don't live in a vacuum. And if this is a pattern of behavior, especially if they get away with it, they continue to get away with it until they're eventually caught. Bill Cosby.
Yeah, 3 to 10 years prison for sexual assault.
There's 65 women, though, that were victims in some way, shape, or form from Bill Cosby. Because nobody wanted to believe the first one, or no one, the first person didn't have the courage to come forward, or didn't think they were in an environment they could tell that story against a powerful person.
And this is why it's going to be really interesting to watch the hearing on Thursday, because I'm starting to see that the Republicans are bringing in outside counsel to have a female ask the questions.
Instead of a bunch of old white guys.
You ask the questions. You've got questions about what she's saying and you don't believe her? You ask the questions. Man up.
Whoa.
Ask them yourself.
Listen, today might be one of those days. You think we're going to heck in a handbasket? Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity. That's coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Completely serious question. Which one do you let the dogs out? Seriously.
Who
let them out? Okay? The damn gate has a lock for a reason. One-hit wonder day. National one-hit wonder day,
Thank you for pointing that out, because people are probably wondering why we were playing that awful song.
Baja Men.
Oh, look at you.
I got to imagine they're probably at an India casino performing somewhere tonight, don't you think? Come on out and see us do Who Let the Dogs Out? Who still let the dogs out? Who's letting dogs out 2010? Anyway. There was a debate last night.
Yes, there was.
Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey, his Democratic challenger David Garcia, and even the Green Party candidate. Is it Angel or Angel? Have we agreed? Angel Torres?
I believe it's Angel.
Angel Torres. I'm not meaning to be disrespectful. Thank you, Bob McClay. So the three of them faced off in the first of two scheduled debates. And did anything change because of it?
No, I don't think anything necessarily changed. If you went into this debate supporting Governor Ducey, I think you come out of that debate supporting Governor Ducey. If you go into the debate supporting David Garcia, you come out of the debate supporting David Garcia. But there were a lot of people who haven't necessarily made their minds up yet. I don't know if anything that happened last night made it abundantly clear who they should have voted for,
right,
or who they should vote for.
And I guess I would say, so along those lines, and I think of like presidential debates are like the big ones we always think about, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not when you recite the rehearsed answer correctly that's going to win you or lose you votes. It's when a gaffe happens. And I've always heard a gaffe in politics is when somebody accidentally tells the truth. You know, or I screw up, or you're made to look unintelligent, or you can't spell potato, or whatever. You know, that you have to have something like that to sway anybody. I don't think anything like that happened in that debate.
So you're saying the goal of a debate is just get through it unscathed?
Don't screw this up.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think anybody screwed anything up last night.
Yeah. And maybe that's why we still see, according to all the polling data that's out there and the average of the polls, that Governor Ducey is still leading reasonably comfortably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that challenger David Garcia and Angel Torres, I'll throw that in there, Green Party candidate, still have a long way to go if they're going to do it. I think it's kind of interesting because for all of the, and again, credit to Ducey, identified that his weakness, we call him SWOT, remember, strength, weakness, opportunity, anyway. Sat down with, you know, his advisors over a year ago, thinking, you know, re-election. We're weak on education. What are we going to do? We're going to become the education governor. How are we going to do that? We're going to talk a lot about it. How about 20 for 2020? Yeah, but it's not really, that isn't the, I don't care what it is. I want to talk about what it is. I want to claim to be the educator. I want to talk about the money we're putting into education so that anyone attacks me on education, I can say, yeah, but you're welcome. Look at all the other things I'm doing.
See, but to me, in all honesty, that's not a Ducey problem. He's a politician and he's playing politics.
Agreed.
That is a voter problem. If you're not educating yourself on where these candidates stand, on things that are important to you. Hey, listen.
Maybe education isn't,
if you don't care about education, then you don't care where Garcia or Ducey stands on the issue. Maybe water is your big concern, or the economy, or immigration, whatever it may be. But yeah, if you're not into education, then you know you're not going to research it. But if it is an issue for you, I would encourage you to dive deeper into both of these candidates because. Yeah. Yeah, nobody made a gaffe last night. Nobody made any headlines last night, but I don't think much progress was made either.
Fair enough. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she can restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah, you know, this is such a great story. We've got two folks who drive an ambulance, and thanks to the attention and kindness of the workers, a dying man was able to have the last meal he most desired. Ron had been battling pancreatic cancer for 17 years and was set to go into palliative care earlier this month. Now, his wife, well, she needed a call for a medical escort because Ron wasn't doing so well. And when the paramedics showed up, you know, they did the evaluation and everything, and they found out that the 72-year-old had not eaten in several days. So as they're talking to him, they said, you know what? Hey, Ron, if you could eat anything, what would it be? He replied, a caramel sundae. Well, then the medics detoured from their route so that they could go get Ron the sweet treat before arriving at the hospital. And it was the last thing that he ate on his own before he passed away. And you know what? I think the story just is a perfect example of how important kindness can be, even if it is as simple as an ice cream.
It's a wonderful story. Of course, I make it about myself and think I was riding in the ambulance why they didn't take me to In-N-Out Burger first before they took me to the hospital because I was hungry.
Okay, that's what we took away from that.
I need to be more desperate.
All right.
Thank you, Pamela. Restoring our faith in humanity.
Welcome.
Muchas gracias. Pamela and I looked through the double pane bulletproof glass on the other side of there. There's DJ Tommy Two Tone doing a great job with the One Hit Wonders today on National One Hit Wonder Day, right?
Who lets the dogs out?
Seriously.
Who?
And again, surely not everyone is Kung Fu fighting. That's just impossible. Also, super producer Stevie Z and Bob McClay.